You've heard of the author before, Boker Tov. The Sefer Apirion on Chumash was written by Rabbi Shlomo Ganzfried. Who's Rabbi Shlomo Ganzfried? The author of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. The author of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Shlomo Ganzfried. From Ungvar, Hungary, maybe modern day Ukraine. One of the great teachers of Torah of the 19th century, passed away in 1886. When he was 60 years old, he decided, if we want to be able to fight Reform Judaism, we actually need to like teach people halacha. So he wrote a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch when he was 60 years old. Shlomo Ganzfried.
The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch.
In 1864, when he was 60 years old, it was published for the first time. Okay, so he has a beautiful sefer on Chumash. It's called Apirion. Apirion means canopy. There's a Gemara in Bava Metzia that says that one of the ways that they gave like a expression of deep respect, they said, Apirion nimtayel Rabbi Shimon. Spread a canopy for Rabbi Shimon. That's like if a chashev rav comes to town, you know, they put up a tent for him. Right? So Apirion means like a canopy, a tent. But also Apirion is a lashon of like Yosef Atzadik is called Ben Porat Yosef. Peiresh has a certain expression, it's an expression of grace or beauty, chen. Okay? So this is sweet ideas. A canopy of Torah, a beautiful canopy of Torah. Okay, by the way, the only parsha that's not in the Sefer is Parshas Maase. Interestingly enough, and that falls out right around his yard site. I love when you have Svarim like that. Like, for whatever reason, like a certain tzaddik or Rav didn't write on a particular parsha, and then like everyone's like, why didn't he have a vart on Parshas Maase? And then it turned out it was his yard site, you know, the week of Parshas Maase, and it's like, ah, oh, right. The Jewish people, like, you know, there's a loss of Torah with the loss of the tzaddik. Anyways, Rav Shlomo Ganzfried was a Halegid. He wrote a lot of different Svarim. He wrote on Shas, he wrote on famous sefer on Safrus, on Hebrew letters called Keses HaSofer. He has a little kuntris, a little sefer on the laws of Hilchos Nida called Lechem V'Simla. Wrote a lot of svarim. Okay, so he has one piece in the Apirion on Chanukah, and it's a beautiful Torah, and it's an important Torah. It's important to live with this Torah. Okay, so let's see. B'mesach HaShabbos Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara tells us, Amar of Kahana. I'm using, by the way, I gave you a, printed out a nicer, newer edition online for you, but I'm using my old little copy over here. Okay, so Masechta Shabbos, Daf Chof Aleph, from Abayis, Amar of Kahana, Darash Rav Nosson Bar Min Yoimi Mishmeder of Tanchon. Ner Shal Chanukah Shehinicha Lamala Michof Ama Psula. If you have a Ner Shal Chanukah that is placed above 20 Amos, it is puzzle. Perish Rashi. Delo shalta ba'ena l'mala michaf ama. V'leika persumenisa. Why is an Erech Hanukkah that's placed too high above the public thoroughfare problematic? Because no one sees it. No one can see it. Lo shalta ba'ena. The eyes are not sholeit. The eyes don't grasp it. No one sees it. And it lacks persumenisa. And the Gemara, interestingly enough, says, kisuka ukamavoy. Like a sukkah, which is also not allowed to be above 20 amos. Right? Sukkah shigavol lamalami esramama psula. Mishnah, beginning of a secha sukkah. And like a mavoy. What's a mavoy? If you have an alleyway that's closed on three sides, and you want to close off the fourth side for Hilchos Shabbos purposes, to make an Erev, right? So you can put Mishnah is the beginning of Erev and describe how one does that. I don't have to necessarily, I want to be able to access the alleyway. I don't want to build a wall. Right? So I can create some type of halachic wall. Right? Or a halachic reminder that here's where the alleyway ends and here's where the street begins. Because the street is Rishos HaRabim and the alleyway is not Rishos HaRabim. So I can put up a korah or a lechi. I can put up a post or a cross beam in order to indicate, right, as like a sign, here's where the alleyway ends. So what happens if I put the post, or if I put the crossbeam over the top of the entrance of the alleyway all the way up? No one can see it. It doesn't serve its purpose. The purpose is that when people see, that sort of creates a halachic wall. That's the line that you're not allowed to cross. So if the beam is too high above the street, people can't see it. Okay, so three halachos that all have this, again, this rule of lamalame esrim amma psula. Ner Chanukah, Sukkah, and Mavoi. Again, we're not going to focus on why the Gemara makes the comparison. I mean, why can't the Gemara just say a Ner Chanukah that's too high is problematic? Why do you have to make the link to Sukkah and Mavoi? Maybe it's just a pedagogical tool, since it's the same logic, so it's helpful to... Sure, why not? It's helpful to... We're going to do a lot of jump roping after Chanukah. So maybe it's an educational tool, right? Meaning if the reason you're not allowed to have a Ner Chanukah so high up is because you can't see it, you can't appreciate it. So what else falls into that category? It's just helpful to remember. It's like a sukkah. The sukkah is called the sukkah. Rashi says, Al Sheim HaSchach. You need to be able to see the schach. Right? So if the schach is too high up, you're not paying attention to the schach. The same thing with the mavoi, the entranceway to the alleyway. Right? We want that the crossbeam is a reminder to people that here's where the mavoi ends and Rishus HaRabim begins. Okay. So that's the halacha. That's the halacha of Rabbi Tanchum. You can't put the menorah too high up. V'amar Rav Kahana, Darish, Rav Nosson Bar Min Yoimi, Mishmei Rav Tanchum. And furthermore, Rav Kahana, Darshind in the name of Rav Nosson Bar Min Yoimi, in the name of Rav Tanchum, again the same person. Maidich Siv V'habur Reik Ein Bo Mayim. If the pasuk says that the pit was empty, we know there's no water. Right, why does it have to say ein bo mayim? To teach us mayim ein bo, aval nechoshim v'akravim yesh bo. Comes to teach us there was no water, but there were snakes and there were scorpions. Good. So now, everyone wants to know, what is the connection between these two statements of Rav Tanchum? The Pashup shot is that the Gemara is quoting the same teacher. So he said something about Chanukah, and he said something about Yosef being thrown into a pit. Some even say it was probably Shabbos Chanukah when Rav Tanchum gave the structure. So he spoke a little bit about the Parsha, and he spoke a little bit about Chanukah. He taught a little bit of Halacha, he said a drush on a Pasuk, but obviously, right, deep Jews believe that there's deeper connections. Chanukah is a time for deeper connections. So says the Baal Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, says Rav Shlomo Gansfried, Nohogu me'oz l'chaber u'lahatzmit shnei mamarim elim. It's been a minhag of the Jewish people for a long time to connect u'lahatzmit, and to bind together these two teachings. So what is the connection between a Ner Chanukah can't be above 20 amos, and habor reik ein bo mayim in the sale of Yosef HaTzadik? That's what he's going to focus on. What happened at the sale of Yosef HaTzadik? How does it in some way relate to this halacha of seeing the Ner Chanukah? Okay, and there's a lot of different ways one can go. Some talk about just like the Ner Chanukah can't be 20 amos high because you can't see, so too the pit was so deep that they couldn't see. Right, they saw there was no water, but they didn't realize that there were snakes and scorpions. There are all sorts of answers what the connection between these two teachings of Rav Tanchum are. But the Apirion quotes a Medrash, beautiful Medrash. Medrash says, Hadudaim nasnu reach. Hadudaim nasnu reach. The dudaim, the beautiful dudaim flowers, right? The ones that were used to negotiate a night with Yaakov Avinu. Rachel, Leah, hadudaim. But it's a pasuk in Shir Hashir, the seventh parak. Hadudaim nasnu reach. The dudaim, the flowers, these dudaim, they give off a scent. Zo ruvein shehitzel es Yosef. Hadudaim nastu reach, says the Medrash very cryptically. This is a reference to Reuven who saved Yosef. What's the end of the pasuk? Va'al pisachenu kol megadim, and by all of our entranceways are delightful things, megadim, delightful things. Zener Chanukah. Okay, interesting. Hadudaim nastu reach is a reference to what? To Reuven saving, or at least attempting to save Yosef. And the end of the pasuk, and by our entranceways are delightful things, Zener Chanukah. What a cryptic and mysterious medrash. And everyone wants to understand, what on earth is the connection here? What's this connection between the saving of Yosef and Ner Chanukah? V'nirali, so says the Apirion, Kinei yesh lachur b'mitzas Ner Chanukah. shenetakna la'asoysa dafka bepirsum. We have to ask an interesting question when it comes to Ner Chanukah. Why is it that when it comes to Ner Chanukah, dafka by Ner Chanukah, there's an inyan of pirsum, lahadlikas haneros mi bachutz b'rishus harabim? Dafka, it's a mitzvah that requires a certain publicity. V'dafka b'makom sha'ayin sholetes, v'lo l'mal l'me'asr mama. Dafka in a place where the eye can see, not above 20 amos where it's out of people's view. Why do we have such a halacha by Chanukah? Masha'ein kein b'shar mitzvos, sheheim l'zikar ananisim. We don't do this by most mitzvos. There's no inyan of eating matzah in public. There's no inyan of reading the Megillah in the street. Afkia pirsum no lehem. He says, obviously, publicizing, you know, there are other mitzvahs where we talk about pursuing Nisa, but here there's dafka and inyan of like, take it outwards, take it to the street, put it in the window. Imkol zeh, eino me'ikra ha-mitzvah, eino ma'akev. By other mitzvahs, it's not an essential component of the mitzvah. It's not ma'akev, it's not essential. It's not an absolutely necessary component of the mitzvah. There's no mitzvah, right? Then when you get up to that part of the Seder, okay, time for matzah, okay, everyone take your matzah, we're going outside to eat matzah. Right? So the world should know that when Jews eat matzah, Hashem saved us, and we ran out of Mitzrayim, and we had no time for our bread to rise. There's no mitzvah to eat matzah in front of an open window. There's no mitzvah, right? Megillah has an element of pursuing Nisa, for sure. But the pursuing Nisa doesn't demand of us to what? To go have Kriyas HaMegillah in the park? Kriyas HaMegillah in the streets? So why by Chanukah Dafka? It's such an obvious question. Why by Chanukah Dafka is there this inyan of pursuing Nisa that it has to radiate bachutz? It has to go outwards into the streets. Right? And again, there's a lot of things to think about here. Part of the connection between Chanukah and Chassidus Bechlau, Chanukah being the last Yom Tov, Chassidus being the last dimension of Torah that needed to be revealed in the world to take us to the light of Mashiach. Sheyafutzu ma'inosecha chutzah, like the Baal Shem Tov is told. There's an inyan of chutz, of stretching things outward, of breaking through boundaries and borders. I gave a drasha this past Shabbos about how the Avanim, their whole approach was to what? Was to break boundaries. Partzu chomos migdalai. They breached the sorei, the little fence around Har Abayis, which was the spot where non-Jews were not allowed to cross. They broke through that. They weren't interested in that. The Torah is a system of rules. It creates a structure for life. They broke the Torah. We're not interested in the rules. So I gave a drasha this past Shabbos about you know, what's the positive side of being a rule breaker? I mean, everything in Tumah has a positive side in Kedusha. What does it mean to be someone who breaches the boundaries, who pushes things hachutza, right? But in a positive way? So I spoke about, obviously, we're not, you know, we're law-abiding citizens. I'm talking about breaking laws, God forbid. Right? But challenging ourselves to move past our preconceived notions of how big we can be. And trying to push outward. And not box ourselves in. If the Avanim can break down walls, we could also break down our mental walls, our emotional walls. Whatever it is that we think, yeah, this is as far as I can get in my Avodas Hashem. You have to be prepared to confront that, to push through that. Yosef Atzadik of Mitzrayim, the rules of the game were that he should have slept with Eishes Potiphar. Those were the rules of the game. Those were the rules in terms of being a handsome young man who's all alone from his family. Those are the rules of the game being in a place called Erev HaSaaretz. Those are the rules of the game with Eishes Potiphar saying, I could see in the stars we're meant to be together. It's not even a taiva. It's a fulfillment of the divine will. These are the rules. And Yosef was lamala min ateva. He said, that's not the rules. And what did Yosef do? Vayanos hachutza. He runs hachutza. He runs outside. Right? He frees himself from whatever that rule was, whatever the expectation was. He had every excuse in the world. Just sold by his brothers. Abandoned by his father. At least that's how he, you know, perceived things. So now he's whatever. My family's throws me out, so I might as well enjoy a good mitzvah lifestyle. Eishes Potiphar was a beautiful woman. She changed her clothing many times a day to try to seduce him. And he said, no, I'm running hachutza. I'm going to be bigger than the expectation. I told the amazing story. There's a story that the Baba Rebbe, Zuchusu Yagen Aleinu, in the the Baba Rebbe came to America, so there were still a lot of survivors who were essentially trapped in Europe still. They didn't have food, they didn't have clothing, they didn't have proper anything, and they were trying to rebuild their lives. Everyone had lost relatives, those few who survived. So the Baba Rebbe wanted very badly that America should take more survivors, refugees. So there was a Jewish senator, Senator Saul Bloom, in the 1940s. And Saul Bloom was a Yid, not observant, but a Yid, and was a big rule follower. Very big on rules. Always followed rules. So when a lot of people were pressuring him and others, senators, to try to help European Jewry, the rules were that America wasn't taking, we're not taking people now. We're not taking immigrants. We're not looking to bring anyone into the country. So the Baba Rebbe said, I got to do something. He worked hard to get an appointment with Saul Bloom, to have a meeting with him. He travels to Washington. He arrived a day early. He slept on a bench somewhere. He didn't know where to stay even. He slept on a bench in some shul. Comes to his appointment the next morning with Saul Bloom. He has like 5 minutes with him. Saul Bloom, the rule follower. And he comes in. Baba Rebbe was a young man. He was a couple years younger than I am. His 30s. Late 30s, let's say. And he comes to Saul Bloom. And Saul Bloom is sitting at his desk, doing his paperwork, whatever. I barely acknowledges him. And after Baba Rebbe stand there, he's thinking, like, what should I say? If I say, I need you to bring immigrants from Europe to America, he says, hey, everyone wants me to do that, and it's against the rules. There's nothing we can do. So he said, I needed to come up with something to say. I needed something. So he said, he's standing there. All of a sudden, Saul Bloom says to him, what can I do for you? And the Baba Rebbe says, I'm here to tell you that I'm a lawbreaker. So he introduced himself. I'm here. I want you to know I'm a lawbreaker. I'm a rule breaker. Saul Bloom is a rule follower, so he got his attention. So he looks up. He said, what do you mean? He says, where I come from, the rules of where I come from, let me tell you about the rules of the place that I come from. He says, the rules are that Jews need to go to gas chambers in Auschwitz. That's the rule. It's the rule of the land. And the rule is that the Jewish people are not allowed to escape. And the rule is that you're sentenced to backbreaking labor, and when you can't do that anymore, then they kill you. Right? And the rule is, he starts rattling off like the rules of, the rules of Nazi Germany. He's like, these are the rules of the place that I come from. And he's like, and if the rules of the land are a death sentence for men, women, and children, those are rules that I can't follow. So I'm here to tell you that I am a rule breaker. I want to break those rules, and I want to help my people. And he broke down crying. Saul Bloom got up from his desk, came around to the other side, took the Baba Rebbe by the hand, and said, okay, I get it now, I want to help you. And he became. If you read Saul Bloom's Wikipedia page, you'll see he was very involved in immigration reform and things like that, bringing refugees to the country and helping out and petitioning the president and many others to create possibilities for survivors to start their lives over. As the Baba Rebbe said, sometimes you have to break the rules. Sometimes you have to challenge the rules. But Hanukkah, part of Hanukkah is about breaking, again, that perception. I'm not talking about Chas V'Shalom breaking laws. I'm talking about challenging your perception of what the Yetzer Hara has been masking to. The Yetzer Hara says, okay, I'll let you be this much of a Jew, but that much of a Jew, that's too much. That's too Jewish. So challenge that. The Yevanim are trying to push their way into Beis HaMikdash, so push your way outwards a little bit, right? So that's part of the basic answer to this. It's not his answer. That's part of the basic idea of the Ner Chanukah Mibachutz. Okay? But coming back now to the Apurim. Coming back to his question. You don't eat matzah in the street. You don't read the Megillah in the street. But Ner Chanukah, we bring it to the streets. What's the pshat? The time of the Milsa. So he says, the explanation is as follows. 5 lines from the end of the first side. The time of the Milsa Yesh Lomar Lefi Ani Azdaiti. Ki Amitzos Habos Al Hanisim Shayu Niglim Umufur Samim Le'ein Kol. Those miracles that everyone saw, that were available for all to see, they happened in a very open and revealed way, like Kriyas Yamsuf, everyone knew about it. Hatzalam Yidei Haman V'kadome, being saved by Haman, everyone knew about it. Everyone knew about it. Everyone experienced it. Ein minatzorich od kol kach lasos pirsum. You don't need to publicize it so much because everyone knew about it. The word is out. Rak lasos es hamitzvos lizkur es hanes. Very good. Those who turned over the page, that's good. That means you're with me. Rak lasos es hamitzvos lizkur es hanes. Right, we do a mitzvah to recall the miracle. V'gam b'neis Chanukah ala hatzala midei ha'oivim shahaisa befirsum, the salvation from on the battlefield of Chanukah. Again, that took place in the streets, so everyone knows about that. What happened in public, Kriyas Yamsuf, the Jewish people surviving Haman's attack, which was on the Jews throughout all 127 Medinos HaMelech, things that take place in a very public way, we don't need to make a big to-do out of it because everyone knows about it. You're not going to forget about it. We daven over it in our shuls. We don't have to bring it to the streets. We say thank you. Thank you, Hashem, for Kriyas Yamsuf. Thank you, Hashem, Kriyas HaMegillah. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We sit there, we eat the matzah in our house. I don't need to bring it to the street. Right? I say Halel, even to thank Hashem for the military victory of Chanukah. I say that in shul. I don't have to do it in the street. But the truth is, the miracle of the menorah, as much as you say, well, everyone knows the story. It's true, everyone knows the story. But how many people saw the menorah? How many people saw the menorah burn miraculously for 8 days? The actual experiencing of the miracle, the story is well known, right? Maybe better known than all the stories we just mentioned. But the actual miracle itself was not nigel elakol. It wasn't available for all to see. Kivadai umos haolam lo yadu mizeh. The nations of the world, no non-Jew was zochet to see the menorah in Beis Hamikdash. He didn't see that. The world didn't see it. Even Kriyas Yamsuf, the world knew about it. Chazal say all the waters of the world split. The menorah, as much as it was such a grandiose miracle, it was actually a very private miracle. It took place in a very private way. V'gam ibnei amenu. Forget the world didn't see it. How many Jews saw it? Amongst our own people, lo ro'u es hanes ki im hakohanim sheshimshu b'beis hamikdash b'fnim. If you were a kohen who worked in the heichal, you were zochet to see the miracle of the menorah. The average Jew didn't see the miracle of the menorah. And therefore, to make sure that a miracle that took place in such a private way would be given the proper publicity, lachin hiskinu mitzvos ner Chanukah la'asosa. Dafka, good morning. Dafka bepirsum leman yisparsim hanes hagadol shenasa lanu. Therefore, we need to do the mitzvah in a way that's going to what? That's going to spread the word, because we want this miracle, which could have remained just a very, it could have been a secret that only the Kohanim knew about. But dafka, we took that miracle and we said we want to make sure that everyone knows about this miracle. We want to spread this miracle. Okay, it's a very good answer, very sensible answer. But however, what does it mean for us in Avodas Hashem? Says Rav Shlomo Gansfried, "V'yesh lomar od." Let's go a half a step further. Ki lamdu es hadavar mimidosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We learned this idea from the behavior, from the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As we know, the Chumash tells us, "V'halachta v'drachav." Try to be like Hashem. Try to act like Hashem. Try to live like Hashem. So we learned from Hashem that something that takes place in private but is noteworthy needs to be publicized. That doesn't mean that we have to publicize our own personal successes. We should have private avodas Hashem. It's a very special thing to have special things that only you and Hashem know about. But if you find out that someone did a really good thing, right, and you know that can inspire others, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, for example, when it comes to parents and children, parents shouldn't hide their mitzvah observance from their kids. Right? So if I learn, 10 blot of Gemara a day, right, I shouldn't say, okay, I'm a big tzaddik, I don't need anyone to know about it. Right? No, I should tell everyone about that so that they can be inspired by it. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, especially your children. Especially your children. In our generation, other tzaddikim say that we have to do everything, but Munkatra said we do things publicly today because we need to be mechazik each other. We need to show that we can do it, that people are still doing it. But especially your children. Your children should see you learning. Your children should see you davening. Your children should see you... Right? Don't say, it's more tzanua to... Right? In my heart of hearts, I feel a fire for Hashem, but I don't need... I'm a humble person. I don't need to make a big scene out of it. No, you want your children, you want your family to see that excitement for Yiddishkeit. We because it's you know, it spreads. It spreads from one person to the next. Right? So v'halach le'bidracha, be like Hashem. Hashem also publicizes private things to give them greater publicity because they deserve it. To be recognized for a job well done. As we know, the Gemara says in Sota, Hidavik b'midosa, cling to Hashem's midos. Be like Hashem, halach l'bidracha. That's what the Gemara in Sota and Daf Yudalid, Amar Aleph says the pasuk means. Halach l'bidracha, walk in his ways, means to cling to Hashem's behaviors. U'matzinu shagam zos himi midos av yisbarach shamao. And we see that this is in fact one of the ways of Hashem, that what? Sha'odama osa mitzvah b'seiser, hu yisbarach shamao mefar shamao. That something that is done in a secret way is given what? Is given public expression. That's one of the ways of Hashem. Hashem likes to take something secretive and let it be known to the world. By the way, for people who learn as much Chassidus as we do, we can learn this piece totally different. You'll see where he's going to go with it. Right? But part of what I think can be hinted to us is that what? That if Chanukah is really represents the Or HaGanuz, the secret light of Torah, which Hashem hid away from the beginning of creation, right? And Chanukah is as all the tzaddikim talk about, the 36 Neiros, the 36 hours of the original light of creation. So you're taking the deepest light and you're bringing it to the streets. But again, yeah, that's what the Baal Shem Tov came to do to the world. To take the secrets and to bring them, Dafka, the secrets, right? Dafka, something which didn't have enough publicity, to make it very public. The Baal Shem Tov was doing in the world. He was taking the deeper secrets of Torah that were part of a secret society. He's like, no, we gotta make it Shava L'chol Nefesh. We gotta teach everyone how to live with the light of Hashem. Okay, but look how he explains it. Ukid Amrinan Yosef Shekideh Shem Shemayim B'Seiser. He's quoting the Gemara in Sota on Daf Lamed Vav, where the Gemara describes the scene where Yosef and Eishes Potiphar were very, very close to doing an Avera. And the Gemara says that Yosef, who was Makadei Shem Shemayim B'Seiser, no one knew about it. If the Torah didn't write about what Eishes Poti, what happened, no one would have known about it. Vayihi Hayom, it was on that day that Yosef was alone with Eishes Potiphar in the house. It happened on that very day. Yeah? So on that, when Yosef was what? Was Makadei Shem Shemayim B'Seiser, Hosifu Olav, he was given an extra letter to his name. He went from being Yosef to being what? Yehosef, as he's called in Tehillim. Eidos be Yehosef Shemo. He was given a letter of Hashem's name. He was given the letter Hey. It's not just Yosef HaTzadik, he's Yehosef. It's a very private thing that he did. But Hashem said, I know it, but I want people to call you by a different name because I want people to know about this. I want people to see, look at the strength. Look at the courage of Yosef HaTzadik to rise above, yeah.
I don't know if you shared this, I heard somewhere else. You say that
Yehuda
had known.
That oh, we're about to get there. Good. That's the Medrash. We're about to get there. Very good. V'nei gam inyano shel Ruvain batzales Yosef kein haya. So the same thing is true about Ruvain. However, what does the Chumash say about Ruvain? Ki atzala lo haisarak b'seiser b'matzvan libo. How do we know what Ruvain's intentions were? When Reuven said, put him in the pit, don't kill him. How do we know that was a way of saving Yosef? You know how we know? Because the Torah revealed it to us. Vayishma Reuven v'yatzileu miyadom. Reuven heard, and he came to the rescue. But it was b'seiser, it was b'matzpun libo, it was in the, right, tzofun, it was in the hidden dimensions of his heart. L'hashiva alaviv, to bring Yosef back to his father. V'lulei she'ida alav ha-Torah, had the Torah not taught us this, revealed this to us, sh'ayisa kavanosu l'hatzilo, that Reuven's intention was to save, lo hayanod lanu matzpune levavo sh'aya letov k'dei l'hatzilo. If I just showed you a video of someone taking another person and throwing him into a deep pit, right? And I said, no, what do you think's going on here? Terrible. What a bully. What a thug. What a Russia. And the Torah says, no. Don't look at it that way. What was really happening was Hatzala. We're saving him. The Torah reveals what Reuven's intentions were. Reuven's plan was to come back later to save Yosef Tzadik. The same way that the brothers, his own brothers didn't even understand what his inner intentions were. It was a secret that the Torah reveals to us. Uve'emes Yisav Medrash Ilu Hayah. This is the Medrash that Yoni just mentioned. It's a Medrash in Rus Rabba. Medrash Rabba on Megillas Rus. Ilu Hayah Yodeya Ruven. Shakadish Baruch Hu Kosev Alav Vayishmar Uven Yatzilayim Yadam. Had Ruven known that what? That the Torah was going to write, that Hashem was going to write about him, that Ruven heard and saved him from their hands. B'kseifav hayu to'ano u'molicho etzel aviv. Then he would have picked him up and carried him home on his shoulders. Now there's a lot to explore in this medrash. What do you mean? That had Ruven known he was going to get the publicity, he would have made a better photo shoot. Right? He would have carried Yosef back to his father. Would have put him on his shoulders and carried him home. And all the, you know, paparazzi is taking pictures. Wow, what a tzaddik, Reuven. Had he known he was gonna get recognition for it, he would have made a greater display of, you know, public display. That doesn't sound right. And the Mefarshim work on this medrash, what it means. Right? But the point is, Reuven did something very simple, a good act in his heart, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I want people to learn from it, I want people to know. I want to reveal the secret. Hashem wants to reveal the secret. So now, let's go back to the Medrash. What did our Medrash tell us on the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim? Hadudaim nasnu reyach. Right? The dudaim flowers, they give off a scent. It refers to Ruvain. And al pisachenu kol megadim, and by our entranceways are lovely things, it refers to Ner Chanukah. What's the connection between Ruvain and Ner Chanukah? So it says of Shlomo Gansri. Says Rav Shlomo Gansi, "V'hinei hareyach." Where are we on the page?
Second
line of the second column. "V'hinei hareyach." "V'hinei hareyach hu hamafarsim gamkin es hamistar af she'inu nira le'enayim." What is reyach? I walk into the room. With a closed box, and you say, "Pizza." How do you know pizza?
You'll
say it's a pizza box, right? Okay. Well, let's say it was not in the pizza box. Let's say it was just in a, you know, a bagels donut box, right? You wouldn't fall for it. You wouldn't assume donuts because your nose is telling you, "I can't see what's inside there," but I know what it is. The smell reveals, right? The smell has the ability to reveal something that is concealed from the eye. It's a very deep idea. We spoke about Mashiach. Avi mentioned the other night, Mashiach is connected to the nose. So to be able to smell something means I'm able to understand something in a way that my eye is not able to grasp, right, but my neshama can grasp. The smell is connected to the neshama. Every Motzei Shabbos, when we lose our neshama yisera, we're mechazik, the neshama that remains, by what? By smelling the besamim. Smell is a very holy thing. It goes back to Gan Eden, because in Gan Eden, Chava sinned with her eyes, she sinned with her touch, she sinned with her taste, she sinned by listening to the nachash. Of the five senses, the only one that wasn't damaged in Gan Eden was this, the chush hareach, the sense of scent, of smell. So because that, it remains very holy, and that's what the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos and Daf Mem Hei, that how do you know you make a bracha when you smell something? Kol ha-neshama ta'alka aluka. Kol ha-neshama ta'alka aluka. What is something that the neshama enjoys? Right? Smell. Smell is a very neshama dikka thing. Okay? So hadudaim nasnu reyach. Hadudaim nasnu reyach. Says the Apirion. Right? Smell, reyach, is the ability to reveal something your eyes can't see. Ki'inyan l'reyach shmanecha tovim shemen turak shemecha. Like it says in Shir HaShirim in the first part. Hadudaim nasnu reyach ze Ruvain. Why is Ruvain, right? Why is hadudaim nasnu reyach that the flowers gave off a scent? Ah, this refers to Ruvain. What was the scent of Ruvain? What was the smell of Ruvain? The answer is, right? Obviously, the Pasha Pshat is that the, you know, the whole incident in Parshas Vayetze with the dudan, right? Ruvain, you know, moving the beds or whatever. So Pasha Pshat is Ruvain had an involvement with the dudaim of Rachel and Leah and Rachel, right? But hadudaim nasnu reyach ze Ruvain shehitzel es Yosef. Why? Because Ruvain was doing something that the brothers didn't understand. We wouldn't understand. If we would watch a videotape of it without sound, right, or without even access to Ruvain's heart, we wouldn't understand what Ruvain was trying to do. It was a secret that Hashem revealed. that Reuven shehitzel es Yosef ki af shelo gila daitov a kavanasu la'atzilo. He didn't tell everyone he's trying to save Yosef. He was just saying, instead of putting a bullet through his head, put him in a pit. Again, it didn't even seem like a hatzala because the pit was what? Was one with nechashim akravim. Aval Elokim yira leleva, but Hashem sees the heart. Hashem is yodeya kavanaso hatova, she laman hatzila. Hashem knew what Reuben was really trying to do. Uvatach bizchus Yosef Yaakov shelo yiziku, and Reuben had the confidence, right, that in the merit of Yaakov and Yosef, this would work out. That somehow this plan was going to work out. That he'd get away with it. The brothers wouldn't team up against him, throw him into the pit, trying to foil their plan. That Yosef somehow would survive, even though the pit itself was dangerous, but it was certainly less dangerous than killing him on the spot. Right? And in the end, he saved him. He did save him. Yosef survives. The brothers ready to kill him, biadayim, right, on the spot. And Reuven's, okay, it was a long, windy journey to Mitzrayim, but the emes, he saved him. And therefore the Torah says, reveals the sod that Reuven heard and he saved. Just like a flower that gives off a smell even if you can't see it to a great distance, and it reveals something good that's hidden inside. So the way that Hashem revealed Reuven's secret, because it was a good thing, people should know about it, be inspired by it. So we learned from that to what? Ner Chanukah, it's not meant to be kept a secret. Get the word out. And therefore, Dafka, the way that they arrange the mitzvah is that it's a mitzvah that you're supposed to bring hachutzah. You're supposed to bring it outward. And now we understand the Medrash. Hadudayim nasnu reyach. This is Reuven who saved Yosef. Va'al Pesachenu kol megadim, this is Ner Chanukah. By the Pesach, by the openings of our homes, is something delightful. Zeh Ner Chanukah, shanu madlikin dafka al Pesachenu, lefarsim es hanes hagadol. Okay? It's a gevaldik gevart. We still have one little paragraph left, but let's hear two comments. Yeah, Dani and then Yoni.
Just like hearing of like Reuven's almost like sixth sense to just like pick up on the situation and act out in this place of like, I feel like something's going on that much I just can't see it. I think I saw that hints, and I don't remember where it breaks down, but tentative Reuven's name, it's Reuven.
That's right.
To see between things that
that's right.
Didn't really make sense, maybe even the things that were hidden, we did it to see Reuven.
That's right, that's right. That's right, that's right. It's a big thing. Also, what's so amazing about this pasuk, just the first two words, Vayishma Reuven. Why was Reuven called Reuven? Leah said, because Hashem saw my plight. Hashem saw my suffering. Why was Shimon called Shimon? Kishamak is Hashem heard. So if Reuven's whole mahus in a certain sense is what? His re'iyah? For Reuven to tap into Shmia is really like lamala menatep. Right? I mean, it's not his midah. What was the challenge of Akedos Yitzchak? So Asemis talks about this a lot. What was the challenge of Akedos Yitzchak? What was the midah of Avram Avinu? Chesed. And now you're telling him to do the ultimate Maisa Gvura, to kill his own son? It was asking Avram to be the opposite. That was why it was such a big Nisayon. It was asking Avram to be the very opposite of everything that he understood himself to be and that the world understood him to be. But that was him Hachutza. That was him breaking down a wall. Right? Avram, you're not only Chesed, you're also Gvura. And Hashem pushed him to become Gvura. So Reuven in this moment, who's Re'iyah, right, is what? Is a person, he becomes a person of Shmia. And by the way, what was the Shmia? What was Vayishma Reuven? Was it just that he heard the brothers? He heard the brothers plotting and he decided we shouldn't kill Yosef. He also heard Yosef. No one else wanted to listen to Yosef. He heard more deeply. Again, there's a lot to say about Re'iyah versus Shmia. Right? Certainly by a yid, on a certain level, Shmia is higher than Re'iyah. Why do you believe in Torah? How do you know that there was a Har Sinai? How do you know that there's a God? You know how you know? Shmia, you heard about it. You heard about it from your parents, you heard about it from your grandparents, you heard about it from your Rebbeim. Right? You never saw a God. So for Reuven to tap into Shmia in a certain sense is also, that's stepping up. A Yishma Reuven. It's going a little bit beyond his natural Mida. But Reuven, right? To be able to see, you know, to read between the lines, to recognize that Yosef Yosef was in fact a tzaddik, albeit a very mysterious tzaddik, had to take time to discover who he really was. Yeah, Yoni.
If we're saying that Reuven did something, and then the Torah commented on that it was actually something that was positive, that was doing something altruistic, then like two proofs that I'm thinking is one, either that's kind of a proof that like never Mufarsh would say that sinning or doing something and it's not actually wrong, that is kind of a counterproof that no, the Torah says when someone does something and he actually has true intent. So
interesting.
All those times that it doesn't say that. And I think you have this approach also, that's something
right.
Interesting to see.
Right,
so either
right.
Or there's just something unique about Reuven that, no, all speaking are totally speaking, but for some reason it probably needs to comment on Reuven.
Right, right. It's an interesting point, right. But the Torah Dafka doesn't want you to... All right. And again, it's part of the Reuven Yosef Chanukah connection, right? That on Chanukah, there's Dafka, this inyan of revealing a secret. Right? So it doesn't necessarily mean that any other time it doesn't comment that it's not true, but it's an interesting point that you're making. Right? That Dafka here, that if you're really righteous, then the Torah will say it. Shem's prepared to write it. Right? We have the... I mean, what are the other examples in that Medrash? You remember the other examples?
Shabbos and then published about like Yehuda and Tamar and about how like there's this like, commentary on how like Haman had hang a harlot, so, you know, this whole thing was actually like he knew that he had the like it was his mission to, you know, like have a Mashiach, and he knew that it wasn't going to come from one of his sons because they were married to Tamar, so he knew he had to do something and get like this whole reason for why he was actually deciding doing it. And I was thinking like, no.
And they're both true. Listen, the tzaddikim tell us that we have no hasaga, right? We have no grasp of who the Shvatim were, the children of Yaakov Avinu. At the same time, there's something, there is a level of reading the story as a pshat, right? And I think, and again, you say, well, so what is it? Did Reuven hire a prostitute, did Yehuda hire a prostitute, or is Yehuda Kodesh Kadashim doing Veir Lishma to bring Mashiach? And the answer is a little bit of both. The Torah wants us to read the story of a man who's depressed and hired a prostitute. Right? And the Torah calls that a Yerida. And Yehuda undergoes terrible embarrassment. Right? And what he thought maybe no one would find out about, everyone finds out about. And yet, it was also part of a master plan that leads towards Mashiach in a way that we can't grasp. You know, so is the Torah, you know, rationalizing Yehuda's behavior? Is Yehuda, does he know something that it's, you know, he's operating on a different plane of existence? Is he a regular human being who's going through a struggle and turns to a taiva to try to satisfy his, you know, a certain emptiness that he feels in his heart? Again, it's a little bit of all of the above. Pshat, remez, drush, and sod. You know, so... But we have to be careful. We have to... Again, the Rishonim were comfortable criticizing the players of the Torah, because that's what Torah's purpose is, to teach us. Avraham makes mistakes, Yehuda makes mistakes, Tzaddikim make mistakes. Right? And then you have the Gemara's tradition also, that anyone who says that David HaMelech was, chotos, you shouldn't say, right? Shabbos daf nun hay. Gemara says, you know, anyone who says David HaMelech sinned is making a terrible mistake, and Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Chetayga, was really just to teach us about the possibilities of tshuva. I mean, there's all sorts of things to grapple with. But they're all el veil devel kimchai. I think it's okay for us to engage the pshat, but also to know there's something deeper. So what are the other examples? It says had Reuven known what the Torah was going to write about him, he would have carried Yosef home on his shoulders. And I remember the other examples. Who else did something in his heart? Aaron, that's right. Now, when Aaron meets up with Moshe Rabbeinu, what does it say? Samach b'libo. Right, he was joyed. He was joyous for Moshe Rabbeinu. Even though his, you know, younger brother was given this great power, Aaron was happy for the success of his younger brother. And because of that, because of his pure heart, he was zochet to wear the choshen, as Kohen Gadol, over his heart, over his chest. And then it's a medrash in Rus, so it's about Rus and Boaz also. Right? Had Boaz known that for a couple of, you know, kernels of grain to help out some poor woman, this would end up becoming his wife and being the line that leads to Mashiach, right? So, you know, he would have put out an even nicer meal for her. Right? But the point is, and it's a very Chanukah-dik medrash, a person does a small little thing, you have no idea what the ripple effect is. No idea what the power of a little bit of oil is. Just how far reaching it could go. The courage to light the menorah, you have to realize, it's a different shir for another time. But the menorah, the mitzvah of the menorah is lahalos ner tamid. There's the Indian of tmidus by the menorah, which means that you can't miss a night of menorah. Which means that when they lit the menorah, when they found that pach shemen, they knew, like we said many times, they knew it was going to be 8 days until they had more oil. They didn't know it was going to last for 8 nights. Right? Pashtus. Again, they gave a whole shir, and they divided it up into 8 portions. They had already seen miracles. They knew to expect more miracles. We had that shir. Right? But the pashtus is, they had enough oil for one night. What's going to be with Lahalos Ner Tamid? What's going to be with Lahalos Ner Tamid, Seth? You know, light for one night, and then what's going to happen for the next 7 nights? But part of what was remarkable, what they did was that what? They said, we're going to do what we can. We're not going to worry about what comes next. It would have been reasonable to say, what's the point of lighting now? Because tomorrow night we're not going to have any oil. So why bother? They did what they could. It's what the Gemara says in Makos about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu knew he was not going to set up the 6 Arei Miklat. You need all 6 Arei Miklat, cities of refuge, in order for it to function. He knew he was not going into Eretz Yisrael. He knew he was only going to set up the 3 on the outside of Eretz Yisrael. And yet Moshe said, I'll do what I can. If a little bit of a mitzvah comes my way, I'll do what I can. This is why the first day of Chanukah, in many respects, is all of Chanukah. Right? Chanukah is over. The best is yet to come, but Chanukah is also over. The first day of Chanukah is everything. Why? Because that was really the moment where they had to make that choice. Should we bother with this one Pach Shemen or not? That's why, what does the Gemara say? B'chaf hei b'kislev, yomei Chanukah t'manya inun. On the 25th of Kislev are the 8 days of Chanukah. No, that's not true. On the 25th of Kislev is the first day of Chanukah, and then there's 7 more days. You even open up a Shulchan Aruch, it says what? B'chaf hei b'kislev, on the 25th of Kislev are the 8 days of Chanukah. It says it in the Shulchan Aruch. You know what the Ramah writes in parentheses, in case you're confused? B'chaf hei b'kislev, maschilin the Shmonos Yimei Chanukah. In case you thought all 8 days were on the 25th, you should just know, no, it begins on the 25th. Thank you, Rav Moshe Isserlis, for that clarification. Obviously, the Shulchan Aruch is hinting to something, and it's really what the Gemara says, that really all 8 days are rooted in that courage to do that little bit. Reuven could have said, this is not going to save Yosef, this is going to keep Yosef alive, this is just prolonging his death. Instead of dying quickly, he'll die slowly. And it'll probably be more painful with snakes and scorpions. But he said, I don't have to figure out what happens a second from now. I have to figure out what choice do I want to make this second. This second, I want Yosef not to be dead. He'll be dead in 5 minutes from now, maybe. Or maybe not. And that was the courage. That was the courage of the Chashmonaim also. We had a little bit of oil. This is not even going to be the mitzvah. But tomorrow night, we're going to break the continuity of the menorah. Lahalos ner tami. Where's the consistency? They did what they could. Yeah?
On the topic of lighting near sound is like a big thing and you have to do a lot of things and it seems like a small action.
Yeah.
It's huge. I heard a story, I don't remember where it was from, but there was a guy in town who was doing a lot of illegal tax stuff, whatever, and figure out what, and the guys in the town were like, alright, I think it's time that we could rat him out, even though he's a Jew, he's doing a lot of damage to the community or whatever, so they went to the rabbi and said, I don't know what to do with this guy, he's doing whatever. It's write his name on the kvittel, I'll tap in and I'll see what's going on. So that night, he looks at the kvittel, he's doing his thing, and he sees, he's got purist, neshama, whatever, no problem. And then they're like, no, it's not possible. They're like, we're not telling you that you're wrong, Pastor Shalom. The Rebbe obviously, I've always known
seeing something,
whatever,
right.
But there's something wrong with it. So he goes, all right, I'll check it out again. So he gives him, he's like, write the name again. Maybe you wrote it wrong, whatever. So he writes the name again. And this time he checked at a different time during his day, because his schedules were different every day. And he checks in the middle of the day. And the Rebbe was shaking. He did not.
So he was a big Russia.
Yeah, so he's a big Russia, and he saw a lot more than they even accused him of. And it turns out that he was lighting there in Hanukkah during that time, and he
Spell my son.
Where is it? Yeah, that's where
it is. Chayz of Lublin. That's right. When he looked at this Yitz Neshama, this renegade Moiser Yid, when he was lighting the menorah, his Neshama was shining. So a person can be transformed by that little light. It's an amazing thing. Okay, let's do the last paragraph. Because we got to go to our first question, right? We said Pshat in the Medrash now, Hadudam Nasnu Reach is Ruvain, Val Pisachinu Kol Magaldim is Chanukah. But what about, forgot the opening question. Shabbos Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, the two teachings of Rabbi Tanchum. No, what were the two teachings of Rabbi Tanchum? Ner Chanukah can't be above 20 Amos, otherwise it's a puzzle. And Habor Reik in Bomayim. So says Rosh Shlomo Gansfried, now we understand why these two Gemaras, they don't just happen to be teachings of Rabbi Tanchum. There's something more. The Baal says Tam Lama Dafka Bener Chanukah Beinan Persume Nisa Umaakev Afilu B'Di'eved Eminich Lamal Mechafama. What the Gemara is hinting to is this question: why is it that by Ner Chanukah Dafka you need Persume Nisa, and it's Ma'akev, it's an absolute requirement, and if you place the menorah in a place where people can't see it, it's no good. It's puzzle. Because you really understand what happened when Reuven made the choice to put Yosef into that boar. Again, it wasn't obvious that Reuven was doing anything at all. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mefarsim how Reuven, in fact, was saving. And that's exactly what's being asked of us on Ner Chanukah. So what's so gavaldi about this piece is, again, you never really thought of Ner Chanukah as being such a private nace. But the truth is, again, how many people actually saw it happen? How many people?
Probably no more than like 30.
Which requires our emunah to first of all to believe that it actually happened, right? Maybe the Kohanim are not telling the truth. That's what a cynical person would say. Okay, but Chanukah is a yom tov emunah. I believe what happened, you know, in that private place, and I bring it outwards. I bring it out to the world. And obviously it's working, because Chanukah is spreading. Chanukah's mamash is spreading. The world knows more and more about Chanukah. So obviously we were successful in, you know, bringing it hachutza. And Amir Tzashem, the inner light of Torah, the inner light of Chanukah, the light of Elukus, should continue to spread. And we should be zeichet to see Mashiach from here. Amen. Shabbat.